Well, hey there, it's Deb the Horoscope. Deb's the Horoscope Lady. Where am I today? It is March 13th, 2008. And let me see, I always ask each and every week, do you know where your planets are? For instance, the sun is still in Aquarius. It's 29 degrees of Aquarius. The moon's in Taurus, which is always nice. Mars is still lingering in Gemini. I had quite a few phone calls this week about that, so we'll be talking a little bit about Mars still being in Gemini. Saturn is in Leo. Pluto is in Sagittarius with Jupiter. Chiron, Neptune, and the North Node, or actually Chiron and Neptune, are sharing Capricorn. The North Node, Mercury, Venus, Uranus, and like I said, the Sun is all in Aquarius. Let me see when the sun's going to finally get out of Aquarius. It'll come out sometime later on today. And it'll come out in a few hours. If that sounds odd to you, let me tell you, I'm a sidereal astrologer, and that means I look at the planets against the backdrop of the constellations, just like the Vedic astrologers do. Certainly all other sidereal astrologers, astronomers, anybody affiliated with NASA, or if you have to plot your course by using the stars, we use the constellations. All of us are using the constellations. A lot of people switched a long time ago to do tropical astrology, which used to line up with the constellations, but right now it is way far off. For instance, on the first day of spring, the sun will be nowhere near Aries. It'll still be in about 6 degrees of Pisces. It won't anywhere be 3 more weeks before it gets into Aries. And why do we do this type of astrology? Well, quite frankly, because it's a tool that works. It is a tool that makes our lives run a lot smoother if we use it like a good weather report and a good roadmap. I chuckle with that because of weather reports. I've often told people if my predictions were not, were only half as good as the weather or twice as good as the weather, man, I'd be out of business. So there you go. Let me see. Today going on. We'll start back with Mars again. Normally Mars, transiting Mars, and if this sounds like a lot of astrology, that's okay. You can always call and ask me to translate. But Mars is that masculine energy. And all of us have it, male or female. We have it when we're born. It's the things that drive us to do things. It is the impetus to separate from certain things and to place our focus on certain other things. When a planet transits, it energizes a certain area of your life. And Mars, no matter when you were born, if you have Gemini or not, your sun, if you consider yourself a Gemini, you've got it somewhere in your chart, and Mars has been energizing that area of your chart since September. Now, the big deal about this is normally Mars only spends 6 weeks in a constellation, but every other year it spends about 6 months in a constellation because of what's called a retrograde motion in the sky. And you can feel it because it just drags on and on and on. And it can be an excellent thing, but even when it's an excellent thing, 6 months of intense energy, kind of wears on you. And I've got a couple of charts to talk about that I've got permission from people to talk about without using their names, of course. And if it sounds like anything you've been going through, you're more than welcome to call in. Oh, what was the other thing? Oh, and I was going to briefly mention Ralph Nader, who is causing trouble for the Democratic Party again. And how's he doing that? By running. And he'll be taking votes away, as usual. It'll be kind of interesting. I'll mention him later on, where that goes. Obama, of course, brought in more delegates this past week. And it's not over till it's over. Those two were still neck and neck, Obama and Clinton. And one of them is going to be much better with dealing with the Ralph Nader issue, as far as who people are going to find more believable or not. And, if he just shows up and does what he did back when Bush was running the first time against Al Gore, it just did the Republicans a big favor. So I've got people in my family going, yippee, kind of thing. All right, let's start talking about this Mars energy that has just been, you know, sitting there. First chart here. First chart is of this successful woman, April 5th, 1956. And when she was born, she has sidereal Scorpio rising. Now, anyone, doesn't matter what day or year, you know, you were born, sometime during the day, at least 2 hours worth of people were born that have Scorpio rising. So this could be for anyone there. And if you have sidereal Scorpio rising, which of course is different than tropical Scorpio, you have had since September trust issues coming up on both sides. You know, can I trust this person? Can they trust me? Astrologers call this, it's been happening in the eighth house, the sex, death, and taxes house. And what it actually has to do with is the dues you pay to belong to part of a society, whatever society you choose. And that's why trust issues are so important. You know, can you be trusted to be part of the group, to do whatever the morals of the group is, whatever you know, everybody agrees is the correct way to act? And, you know, during this time period, you'll have all kinds of temptations, and people around you will too, people that you thought were on your side. There may be some questioning for other reasons, you know, for any reason. Either they don't want to commit, or, like I said, you in this person's case, well, she had a couple things. She had a former boss that had been trying, you know, talking to her for the last couple of years to, you know, I want you to come on my team, I want you to do this. But when it got down to it, turned out behind her back, she, you know, he was not giving her a glowing report, even though that's not what he had been saying to her. And, you know, that's a big trust issue. It's like, wait a minute, you know, what have you been messing with me, messing with my job? She's a big-time executive. If she leaves the company where she is, you know, she's got to land somewhere solid and secure. And then, of course, there's that old commitment issue with the gentleman that she's been dating for a year now. And, you know, he's not really sure, you know, how much commitment. Yes, honey, I do, but, you know, I've got other things to do. And we're not talking about kids here. We're talking about, you know, people that, you know, have been through a couple marriages and one each and, you know, have gone through some stuff. And so where does that leave her? Well, it leaves her and everyone else who has Scorpio rising, and again, this is sidereal Scorpio rising, between now and the end of April, which is a nice 6 weeks period, you can decide, all right, well, if someone has proven themselves untrustworthy, yes, you can forgive them, but for heaven's sake, let them go. You know, it's like, no, that's who they are. And, you know, she said it herself this morning, fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So, you know, you see these things very clearly. As far as everything else is concerned, you get to decide yourself. Are you comfortable with someone not being willing to make a commitment, and like, that's okay, maybe you're not willing to make one yourself, or it's like, okay, maybe it's just time to cut bait and run. You know, it's like, all right, you know, this is what I'm looking for at this time of my life, and I need something else. If you have been in a relationship where someone is, and no, I do not have the New York governor's birth data, I really wanted to, more, not just his, but his wife's also, to see what's going on there. Those are some serious trust issues kind of thing. But, you know, you can decide, all right, am I willing to put up with it or have I just had enough? So that's kind of an intense one. Let's do one that's not so intense where I had someone call me. Of course, no one ever calls when it's not intense. That's the kind of thing. All right, someone else wanted another client. He had, or he has, Virgo rising. Okay, Virgo risings, they're the busy ones. They're constantly, you know, they want to improve. They see ways to improve, and they'll fix it, and they'll fiddle, and they'll do stuff. During this time period, he has had transiting Mars in his 10th house. Now, normally when I see that, I tell people, you know, this is a terrific time to show your best side. You know, and for 6 weeks, that's easy to do. For almost 6 months, that's a whole lot harder to do. And the reason is, you know, for 6 months, you know, always looking good, never losing your temper, never losing your cool, never letting them see you sweat when you're under pressure. And there is a lot of pressure. I mean, these are not six easy months. These are 6 months. If you have Mars transiting your 10th house, these are time periods when you are being pressured to perform. People want to see what you're made of. So you've got to hold that, you know, that calm, pull off one good thing after another for a very long time period, as opposed to just, you know, the 6 weeks, which is a whole lot easier to do. You can pull off one terrific project in 6 weeks, you know, and make it look easy. For 6 months, it's like that's, you know, it's a bit more. And he has been having problems. Of course, a lot of it has to do with how the rest of his chart lines up. I did have permission, you know, to talk about this, where he is being seen at this point as, you know, going back on his word. He said he could do this, but now he's saying he can't. You know, he doesn't think the numbers are going to pull in, part of which has to do with the economy in general. People simply aren't, they don't have the discretionary income that they used to have because the daggone gas prices are going up. My advice to him was to say without apology, these numbers that I gave you projected were based on the economy doing what it was, you know, this time last year. Now people are having to spend their money doing this. We need not just a different approach, you know, to get people to look at our product, but, you know, perhaps we ought to look at price points and whatnot, or how can we get the product cheaper to get it to them cheaper, you know, do something along the lines like that. Instead of, you know, going out there and firing people, which would be a way to cut down, you know, on, you know, the money being spent, you know, to make this happen. So he's got a tough one. You know, how's he going to come in performing the numbers that they want, or coming in performing like a true leader, you know, like a gentleman that can get the job done without sacrificing his team? And with, you would think with a Virgo rising, you know, an Earth sign, it's practical. It's Earth, you know, there's something kind of nice about it. But on the other hand, it's definitely practical. And they sometimes will look at, well, what's the quickest solution to this problem, instead of thinking long term. It's mutable, it's change, and the thought is they can always change it later. They can always, okay, I tried this for a while, it doesn't work. I can try, you know, something else again. And, you know, that might work when you're knitting a sweater. You know, it's like, okay, I'll try this stitch for a while. I don't like it. Pull it out. Start it over. But when you're talking with people's lives and, you know, rather, you know, you're talking about laying off half your team to save a budget and getting hungry, you know, young people in there that will work, you know, on commission only. Now, that I suggested rethinking that. It's like, no, I would go back and say the numbers that we projected are now, you know, all wrong because of what's happened in the economy, and it's simply the gas prices. People do not have the discretionary income that they had. You know, Starbucks is trying $1 coffees in cities, you know, it just in certain cities. It's just, and it is gas prices, you know, specifically. Everything is much more expensive, and until that comes down, then, you know, shipping and whatnot is just, it's just going to take a toll on things, and people do not have the money to spend on other things. So I would, you know, that's how I would approach it, and that's what I suggest, that if you're in school, if you're younger or even slightly older and you're still in school and you're having this happen because you have Virgo rising, then it is probably an important year to where whatever papers you're writing or whatever grades you're getting, whatever type of performance you're doing in sports that will get you a scholarship, this is, you've got everybody's attention. And it's not just the, you know, immediate performance they're looking at. They're looking at the total package. How do you handle yourself under pressure? Do you give reasons? I mean, do you just, when something doesn't go the way that you thought it would go, or do you make excuses, or do you look at it and say, okay, I learned this from this, I'm going to do this different later? Everyone's looking, and there's no right or wrong, I mean, depending on who you're having to please. But for the most part, I think there's always that greater picture. I mean, quick fixes are nice, but, you know, how's that going to play out, you know, in a week, in a month, in a year, you know, in 10 years down the line? So, I'd always kind of look at that. Let's look at, I've got to talk political stuff only because I am right over here. Supposedly a half an hour from Washington, D.C., but with the traffic, it often takes an hour, and that's okay. We know that when we move here. And I have been here pretty much all my life, so that's in one part of the city or the other, so we're just kind of used to it. All right, let's pull up some of these charts, including Ralph Nader's this time. Like I said, I just cannot help myself. It is fascinating to me that he keeps doing this. You know, he says, you know, this is what I want to see happen, and, you know, they're not doing whatever, but he's actually getting in the way of, you know, what the change he says he wants to see, you know, and making it, you know, more difficult for change. People are funny. They're just funny. All right, let's start with Ralph Nader first. Okay. Ralph Nader was born February 27, 1934. When he was born, the sun was in 15 degrees of Aquarius. Mars, Mercury were also there, you know, all conjunct, essentially, in Aquarius. And, yes, the man, he was the son of Lebanese immigrants, you know, who came and loved this country, and he grew up loving this country, and he does. And he has new ideas. He has ideas that nobody else had. But he was always willing to work within the system, and he has Capricorn rising, and that's one of the most amazing things about him. Is, you know, what was the first book that he came out with? Not safe at, I should have done some research on this, not safe at any speed, when he was talking about the car industry. You know, he went to Congress. He went to people. He went and said, okay, this is the research I did. You know, he didn't stand out here and, you know, up on a soapbox and just shout at people or whatever and do crazy things. He didn't sit around and grumble. He went to the people who could change the rules. Now, they didn't necessarily change the rules right away, and some people have certainly, you know, they roll their eyes when, you know, they see him coming because he doesn't stop coming. But, you know, give the man his due. He's always been able to see things differently and see how you can improve things, but yet be willing to work with the laws in this country to change things and make things happen. Now, where he has had Saturn also, where he has had transiting Mars, since he is a sidereal Capricorn rising, where he has had transiting Mars since September, and certainly will continue through the end of April, is in his sixth house. Gemini is his sixth house, and anyone who has Capricorn rising in the sidereal system, using the whole sign house system like I do and like all the Vedics do, and some Western astrologers, others use different house systems, it's been in his sixth house, and it's all about his work day and what he's, you know, planning to do and not doing. I would think after April 28th, when it crosses into that seventh house, we will hear a lot more from him, being more vocal, being more out there, you know, doing what he does. He certainly has no chance. I mean, I'm looking at this chart, but also kind of interesting in this chart. And he's certainly not a spring chicken either. He has his transiting Saturn. This is not the Saturn he was born with. It's the one out in the sky that's in Leo right now. It's 9 degrees of Leo. It is in his eighth house, and it's rising. So he literally, not this year, but in another year and a half, when Saturn goes into Virgo, it will be in his ninth house, and he will have, at that point, what astrologers call the king's ear. Congress will listen to him more readily. The president, whoever that is, will listen to him more readily. And I'm thinking, if he doesn't cause too much trouble, you know, as far as a negative campaigning, this, you know, getting some attention here and, you know, getting his voters, and then if he pulls out enough or say it says at the end, yes, you know, I'm throwing my votes for this person, you know, please do that, he might actually buy himself a much easier ticket, I guess, to, you know, the open door of the White House, which is where he needs to be if he's going to be making these changes. Now, he's always, you know, come across, you know, working within the establishment. And that has, like I said, been why he's been able to do, you know, what he's done so much and has the effect that he has on the United States. But he is certainly a maverick, and he's just packaged very conservatively. Kind of interesting, but that's what's going on with him. And I guess his work day he got bored, and it's like, okay, let's redo my work day. I think anyone with sidereal Capricorn rising has been doing that. Probably some health issues. I think his latest writings have been on the medicines being imported in foods. You know, just in the food in general, just stuff coming in from runoff and whatever from other countries. And that's certainly six house issues also, houses of health. So that's kind of interesting to look at. All right, let's see. Hillary Clinton, of course, has been responding to Geraldine Ferraro's comment that Barack Obama would not have gotten this far or gotten this much attention if he had not been an African-American. If he was simply, you know, a white guy running, he would never have gotten this much of attention. And, of course, Mrs. Clinton had to come back out and say, well, I can't imagine anybody saying that. The question I got this week was that planned? Now, that's not the kind of thing I would normally see on a chart. And you could say, well, you know, can you see deception on a chart? Sure, but I'm looking at politicians' charts, and they're always having to cut deals with people. Obviously, Hillary Clinton is a savvy politician. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Would she be willing to have somebody say something like this so she could, you know, come out and say what she said and, you know, have it all bounce off, you know, the media as, oh, she's really a decent woman, blah, blah, blah. Hillary Clinton was born October 26, 1947 at 8:10 p.m., Chicago, Illinois. When she was born, the sun was in Libra, and that is Sun, Chiron, Venus, hold on, caller, I hear you there, and Mercury all in Libra. She has Gemini rising, and she's had that Mars on in her first house since September. And will be continue to be there, and that's having to redo yourself and being under attack. So no, I don't think this was a planned thing to do. It doesn't look like it in her chart that would happen. It's like she has enough stuff to deal with without having to defend one of her political supporters. So anyway, there you go. Yes, caller. How are you this evening?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm just fine. What's your name, and what can I help you with?
My name is Julia, and I was wondering if you can tell from a birth chart or the transits or progressions or any of the good stuff, if somebody is due to have like a spiritual awakening or spiritual experience or anything like that.
I sure can. All right. Give me this person. Is this you or is this somebody else?
It's me. I actually might be in your system because I did off your webpage the free chart.
Okay, but that would be, and this is, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to let you know we don't keep any of that information whatsoever, and we keep separate. And the reason we don't do that is so nobody can hack in and get people's birth dates and names and the rest of that. The only information I have that I do keep is when I have paid clients, and I keep that in a computer that does not hook up to the Internet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's for everybody's safety. So there you go. Okay, birth date, please.
September 16th, 1961.
Okay, time?
10:45 a.m. That's a approximate.
Okay. And place?
Salem Center, Ohio.
Are you still in Salem?
No, actually, I don't live there anymore.
Okay. I was wondering if you just got clobbered by all that snow.
Yeah, no, I was born there, but I grew up in a whole different city, so.
Okay. Well, that's, astrologers still need where you were born, but that's, yeah. Okay, September 16th, 1961, when you were born, the sun had just gotten, I mean, just.
Hold on 1 second. I want to turn up the volume. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay.
Okay, one more time.
No, there you go. All right, September 16th, 1961, the sun had just gotten, literally by a couple of hours, into Virgo. So you are 0 degrees Virgo. You've got your sun in Virgo, and also your Mercury, your Mars is there. You are a Libra rising, moon in Scorpio, and, oh, spiritual awakening. There you go.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I wanted to make sure, did you say 1961? For 1961?
Yes, 1961.
Okay, because when you said it, I thought you said 51, so
oh,
I didn't
yeah,
know
no,
if that
no,
would
no,
throw
I'm
it off by
not
10 years.
10 years.
Okay, right.
I'm not aging, Yanni.
Okay, well, the 6 and the 5th that sounded similar, so.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Go ahead.
Mars, of course, what I was talking about before, and that's what people have been going through. Mars has been transiting your ninth house since September and will be there for another 6 weeks. What the ninth house has to do, people always talk about travel with the ninth house, but it's travel for a specific reason. It's to find the oracle. It is to find God in some sort of way, shape, or form. And it's interesting because you literally can travel half a block to a park that you've never been before, or travel to a bookstore and find something that you've never found before and have this awakening. So, yes, since September is when you certainly should have been feeling just this kind of curiosity and
okay.
Then almost like this flowering coming out. So what have you found, you know, someone new? Have you found Eckhart Tolle? Have you found Michael Brown? What have you been doing?
I'm doing the Eckhart Tolle Oprah thing.
Okay, brilliant.
Yep.
So. Brilliant, no.
I am doing that, and just in general, I seem to have, like, kind of kicked up a notch more of my interest in spiritual things, and, I mean, I've always been for a while now, but it just seems like that hunger, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I will tell you, after the end of April, and this is what, when you have a long time with these planets being someplace, the hunger, you won't feel as starved. You'll still be curious, and you'll continue with it at the new level, and you'll never go back to thinking the way you thought before you were exposed to these things, but you'll be more comfortable with it. Does that make sense?
Okay, so like it would have sunk in or, you know.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, a mind stretch, who said this? A mind stretched by a new idea can never go back to the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a child, once you learn your ABCs, you're taken off. You know, as soon as you learn to read, you can never go back to what it was like just to stare at that page and not figure it out.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
good.
It's the same kind of thing. It's like once you start reading this stuff, and you have been, and all of a sudden it's there, it's like a whole world has opened up to you. That you can either take or leave, but you can, you know, pick and choose, I should say, you know, any part of it that you want. Oh, well, that's good. That's, he's a, you know, brilliant mind, and I think he's one of the great modern thinkers, and, you know, to come out of this past century, actually, and, you know, certainly into the 21st century, and it's a good place to be. It's a very nice ninth house experience, actually.
Oh, good. So you said it goes from September until?
It started last September, and it will officially, it's transiting Mars, will be out of what's called your ninth house, April 28th.
April 28th?
But you will, like I said, after that, your mind's already been stretched. You're already going to be doing things.
Oh, okay.
And now let me ask you, did you move this past year, or are you planning to move in the next year?
I've been wanting to move 4 years.
Okay, you've been wanting to move 4 years. Okay, very good. I think very much in 2009, I don't care what the housing market is doing or whatever, in your area, I think you can easily, you will be able to move and find a place. And probably it's going to tie in with reading Eckhart Tolle and doing other spiritual practices and whatnot. You will just, like, be made aware of, that's what I'm saying, is like all of a sudden you're made aware of some things that you weren't aware they were there before, even though they've always been around you.
Oh,
you're going to become aware of, gee, I want to live here. And things will start falling into place.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now I'm saying this because anyone who has Libra rising, sidereal Libra, and you can say Libra. I just say librarian, so I say Libra. You've had Jupiter transiting your third house, which is about the neighborhood, about, I always say it's a kitchen thing. People will often redo their kitchens or put in a home office or something or start doing some things around their house. And then the following year, when Jupiter moves into people's fourth house, which will be after Thanksgiving of this year and go all the way through 2009, they will do one of two things. They either expand their own house and do the stuff, fix it up the way they've always wanted to fix it up, or they move. And often if you've been on some sort of spiritual quest, that's when you move. It's like, okay, I'm ready to leave this place to go to some place that fits me better. So.
And you said that was after Thanksgiving of this year?
After Thanksgiving of this year. Well, if you move before that, that's fine. What it means is you will found the neighborhood that you want to be in first, but you'll make the house you move into your home after Thanksgiving of 2008 and then all through 2009.
Good.
So, you know, if that's what you have in your mind, start spending now, you know, cleaning up and getting rid of and getting ready to go.
This is so funny because just today I told my husband we need to start going, you know, we'd been talking about, like, just pick a room and go through it and get rid of stuff.
That's it.
And we've already got, like, the Purple Heart scheduled, like, the end of the month to come and pick up stuff, so.
Oh, good.
So that's perfect. It's like, okay, yes, on track.
Well, that's why you use sidereal astrology, because it just works. You know, it just
it
works.
It is. It's great.
You know,
so anything else that pops off the page?
Yeah, no. Because, I mean, actually, you've got a bunch of stuff in your chart right now that, you know, and that's why people call. They rarely call if nothing's happening. But, you've reached this age where, you know, you're looking at what we call our desires. What do I really want? You know, what do I really want to do? And part of that, the move is with it. Part of it's, you know, the spiritual studies. Part, it's just like shaking loose and ready. It's like, okay, I want something different. I'm not sure you can quite put your finger on it, but I think with you right now, it's doing things that you can be proud of. And I don't care if it's picking up little skills that it's like, gee, I might not ever make money from this, but I'm going to enjoy doing it and spending time doing that. And that's really important to be doing this. Now, as you clean out, I don't want you to, like, go out, gee, I'm picking up a new hobby, so I got to bring all this stuff in. But it's more about spending time with people also and just the socializing of it. So, you know, you've got another year and a half of that. And I think where you move, I don't know, it's closer to, like, swing dancing lessons or something where you guys just go do things together, you know, kind of stuff. So there you go with that. Well, good luck with all that. That's kind of nice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
It's fun.
Okay.
Like, yay, I'm on track. It's always good to get that, you know, confirmation that, you know.
Well, no, it is, and that it absolutely is, because sometimes you're just wondering, you know, if that's just a thought that floated in, you know, it's going to float right back out. I have them too, you know.
Okay, well, have a great rest of the show, and I will be listening. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yes, just talked to Julia there, and she had gotten one of the free birth charts, either from mybirthchart.com, which after a long and grueling month is back up and running. During the last Mercury retrograde, our web hosting company had pushed a button and erased it completely, everything, all the data bank, all everything. Boop, it was gone. We did not have a backup because we are in the process of changing the look of it. So it is up. I don't think you can order anything from it yet. So there you go with that. But there, we also have searchbythestars.com that you can go to, and you can get a free gift profile. And I think that it's got four or five planets on it. You can put in, you know, anybody's birth date and get back what either right there on the website or have it sent to you. What people would like to have for gifts. And also, it's kind of nice. It reveals a lot of personality types. What else? Do I have another site? I have blogger.com. No, I don't have blogger.com. On blogger.com, I have Horoscope Lady, which I will put the weekly birth chart up. That's for those of you who have been wondering where the weekly birth charts have been, the free sidereal birth charts, running a little bit late. And, again, those are server problems we've had. So expect them. They're normally up by Friday morning. Might not get up till Friday evening, or worst case scenario, Saturday, but it will be up, and after this week should be up regularly again on every Friday. So good time to remind you, if you enjoy the people that you hear on BBS Radio, you can do one of two things to show that you enjoy that. You can go to the BBS site and hit the donate button. Keep Don and company in business. It's great fun to do all this, but it does cost money to keep everything running, the electricity if nothing else, let alone the weekly paychecks and whatnot. Or you can go to the various host websites and purchase things from them from time to time just to say, you know, gee, thanks, we're glad you're on air. And like I said, I've got the two sites. I've got searchbythestars.com. And you can always purchase one of my books there, Gift Giving by the Stars. And I have mybirthchart.com, where you can purchase a variety of services. Hopefully in the very near future again, you can do it online, but you can always contact me and do it by mail. And if you're interested in dieting or detoxing, you can go to Debs, D-E-B-S, Detox, D-E-T-O-X, at, or not at, I'm sorry, dot, Isagenics, Isagenix.com, and there's phenomenal stuff. If you need to, email me at horoscopelady@msn.com and ask about the Isagenix stuff. That's horoscopelady@msn.com to ask about either general questions to talk about on the radio next week or the Isagenix products, which are phenomenal, changing my life, dropping my cholesterol quite a bit, which I was quite impressed with, and my blood pressure, which was nice, and you know, making, I've seen differences in people just the 3 months that I've been on it, but people who've been on it for years, it's just phenomenal stuff. So anyway, there you go. That's it for my commercial right now. Yes, may I, caller, how are you?
Hi, this is Deb.
Hi, yes it is.
Hi, Deb. I wondered if you could give me a reading.
I sure can. What's your name, dear?
Gregory.
And your birth date?
8-23-50.
8-22-50?
No, 23.
Thank you. 23-50?
Correct.
Okay. And time?
12:30 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard Time.
And place?
Would have been the East Coast.
Well, I know that, but where?
Ohio. Northern Ohio.
Northern Ohio. Okay, well, I'll just go there. All right. What would you like to know, Gregory?
Just what you see for me.
Okay, I can do that. All right, August 23rd, 1950, when you were born, the sun was in 6 degrees of Leo, and that's where you probably thought it was anyway, so we're safe there. At that time in the morning where I put you in Ohio, you still had Taurus rising, 29 degrees of Taurus, so, and it's real close. So let me ask you, when people first meet you, because this matters with doing even a quick reading, when people first meet you, do they see solid, secure, you know, can get the job done?
First meet me, they're actually intimidated, as they would be with a Leo, but I think I tend, actually in my heart, I'm more like a Virgo.
That has nothing to do with your rising sign.
Okay.
So let me ask you, when they meet you, do they see solid, capable, of clothing you wear? Is it, do you buy good quality clothing and have it last a long time? Are you more like you're talkative, friendly when they first meet you? You treat them like they're your best buddy that you met for a long time?
Yeah, I don't have any social barrier thing going, no.
Okay, then in that case, I'm going to have you born at, 8:35, because that's going to make a difference in what's going on in your life. Rectify. Sometimes 4 or 5 minutes can make all the difference in a prediction. And even when doing these quick ones, I like them to be correct. Okay. So, giving you a 8:35 time for somewhere in general northern Ohio.
I can tell you exactly where.
Well, okay, then that would have made my life easier. You know, where exactly
it's
was
it?
It's
in a town called Fostoria. Fostoria, Ohio.
Spell it for me, please.
Fostoria. And the time of birth was 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, well, I am still giving you a 12:35. Somebody's watch wasn't quite right. If that's how you come across to people as, you know, friendly and, you know, talkative and all the rest of that. And you would know. You knew would know. Okay. And why you would think you're more of a Virgo in your heart, which you are not, you know, you absolutely are not, it's because you've got Mercury in Virgo and your mind works like that.
Okay.
You know, it's very detail-oriented and it's very, it's practical. You know, it's simply practical.
Okay.
So there you go. Okay, so what has been going on in your life? Let me flip this around. I've got all these charts here. Hold on, I've got to clear all these images. There we go. I had quite a few on here. That's just irritating. I'm sorry it's taking so long. I don't know why this thing keeps coming up.
That's okay.
One more way. Okay, now we've got it. All right, first of all, okay, so I'm giving you a Gemini rising, which, again, is kind of a, it's much more lighthearted when people meet them. You know, and I could see where you'd say people were intimidated because, see, more with this chart, because that would put Uranus in your first house. And that's just a heck of a lot of energy to have in the first house.
Uh-huh.
And so some people are going to be really attracted to that and say, wow, it's really interesting. And other people are going to say, okay, I'm going to test that out first and see what it really, you know, what's he really like, and then they'll ease on into it. So anyway, there you go. Okay. Let's see. Oh, well, if you've got Gemini rising, then very much like Hillary Clinton and everybody else who has sidereal Gemini rising, since September, you've been going through this personal, actually almost even physical transformation, where you look different, you're redoing your whole self and who you are. Now, if that's what you haven't been doing, I'll change your birth time again. But there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Either you have been doing these things.
I'm not sure about September. I'm not sure about the date.
Okay. Have you had kind of wild things happen, unexpected things?
No, I'm very spiritually oriented, and I'm really into the movement toward the next, to the fifth vibration issue. Of course, even if I go back to my childhood, I can tell you that I figured they dropped me off on the wrong planet back then.
Okay, but that has, but still, I'm trying to get the timing right so I can give you something correct. Even if you're spiritual oriented, you will still have things happen, if this is close to the correct timing here, where, you know, you expect, you know, to be taking a plane ride or something, and, you know, the plane doesn't take off.
Oh,
the way
something good happened in September. My dad died.
Oh, well, honey, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, I forgot
that's
about
a big
that.
One.
That was very big because I don't travel, and I went back to Ohio for that.
Okay. See, that's all right. So we've got a good birth time. So this is your spiritual this is a personal transformation. This is a much heavier one than most people will experience. You know, a lot of people are just literally, they're just redoing, you know, how they present themselves to the world. Just, you know, it's a do-over, it's a makeover, as opposed to, all right, I have to see myself different, because that's what happens when one of your parents dies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do see the world different than before then. You step into their place. I think that has a lot to do also, not just with...
I feel like I'm doing that.
Yeah, well, not just with Mars there, but you also have what's called... Saturn right now is in Leo, which is had rolled over your sun, and will continue to get up to your Saturn in another year and a half, so you'll be having what's called a Saturn return, and it's about responsibility. Now, being in tune with whatever, you know, you call the source, you know, I don't know, do you call it God, whatever
yes.
you call it. Yeah, okay, I do
I'm
the God
I'm not hung
thing.
Up on that.
I'm a Protestant, I go to Unity.
I was raised Catholic, I know about dogmas.
Okay, all right, there you go. All right, so, and what the nice thing about this, and I just watched somebody else do this, where there's Saturn, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you know, Saturn returns and Saturn on their sun, this is so tough. But what this person did was they left a relationship that was not working, ended up finding, and they wouldn't have found this person if they hadn't just, you know, left and like been there at the right time, you know, one of those out of the blue experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up in this committed relationship fairly quickly and buying a house and doing all this stuff. And now they have all these responsibilities where they had said to themselves, gee, all I wanted to do was be free. They couldn't be happier. So, pardon me. I see you taking on responsibilities in the next year and a half that you cannot imagine now. Hold on 1 minute. Pardon me. And how that's going to affect you, it's going to define... I don't know, a practice of life for you that you cannot imagine right now that is going to give you a sense of contentment and a sense of happiness that you don't have right at this moment.
I know the direction you're going with this.
Okay, good, because I don't. I have no clue.
It's spiritual again.
Just okay.
A continuation in that area.
Well, that's you know, what you're doing. And I would say between now and Thanksgiving, you have an excellent support system and you have, you know, lots of new people. You have had them coming into your life since, like, last Halloween. But between now and Thanksgiving, you'll even have more and more people coming in. And there will be from different societies or different groups. And you get to choose, you know, who am I going to affiliate myself with? And when it's all said and done, who am I going to spend, like, literally the next 12 years? What kind of group am I going to spend the next 12 years with?
Do you ever do comparisons at all, Deb, with marriages?
Oh, yeah.
On this program?
On this program? I can. Yeah, I haven't done it on this program. I'm not crazy about doing comparisons of marriages only because, and, you know, you do seem very level-headed, often when people ask me to do that, what they want me to do is talk bad about the other person. I'm
No. I belong
right,
to
right, right, right.
And everything. I'm much deeper than that.
I know you are, and that's, I can hear it in your voice. I mean, I don't have to see your chart. I just mention that for all the other listeners out there, because just in case there's somebody out there that says, well, good, I'm going to get them to talk bad about my, you know, whoever, I don't do that. But sure, I would love to compare if you have somebody else's birth data.
I do. It's 10-10-59.
Okay. Tell me again.
10-10-59. What were you born?
And
what day,
time.
Place? Mason, Michigan. Time. 5:37 p.m.
Okay.
It's my wife.
Okay. 5:37?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay. Well, that's good. I just... All right. Let me see. First of all, let me talk about that chart for a minute. Okay, October 10th, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 23 degrees of Virgo with Mars in Virgo. But again, you know, which picks up, of course, your Virgo stuff, along with that North Node in Virgo, which picks that up, too. Mercury in Libra, different kind of a mind, a different kind of a mind. Fairness and, you know, it's a nice balance for you. I'll just really kind of leave it at that. But what I do is I do what's called combined charts, because where two people might be one way, you know, when they're by themselves or with their friends, but when they are
right.
together, they're this different energy form.
Right.
And I found that is just, it's called composite charts, and it's phenomenal. It just really shows stuff that regular synastry charts do not show. Now, are you asking me about the strengths and weaknesses of this chart, or
generally.
What's the pump?
Generally, yes.
Oh, generally. Okay. All right. There you go. Let me look at what's been going on with the chart. All right. All right. First of all, let's talk about what's easy about this chart. The sun, the reason that this couple is together, and I'm sorry I'm talking about you in the third person, but it's the way I start tuning in, is trining. It's beautiful. The part of fortune, it trines the moon. So the soul of the chart essentially trines the basic purpose of the chart. It's like, as a couple, you all operate efficiently and well together. Where, and it happens, okay, Venus, the values are the same as on the lower level as well as the higher level, because Venus is trining Jupiter. So you can have fun together. You probably started off as best friends or pals and made each other laugh. And it's just brilliant, all these things together. Where the tension comes in, and actually this is what adults go for. When we're kids, we tend to couple up with people who are just like us.
Right.
You know, because we're trying to define who we are.
Right.
When we get older, or at least more mature, we go for people that have a striking difference, because it causes us to grow as human beings.
Correct.
Now, it'll attract us as in the beginning, but then, you know, if anything goes wrong, you know, that's the thing that irritates us, because it is different. Where you all, and I wouldn't want to get caught in the middle of one of y'all's arguments, where you all will kind of go off with, I guess, where the squares are, where the hard parts are, is where you start communicating about what each other needs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you've been together for a long time, I'm sure you've worked this out. You know, it's not even an issue at any point. You know, it's like, okay, that's what they want to do, that's what I want to do.
That's part of being human.
Yeah, but when you get to, you know, first get together, there, you know, it's that. But it makes each of you think about, oh, okay, you know, at some point it's like, okay, that's why they say that, or that's why they do that, because this is what they're thinking. And in that way, you know, helps build compassion, essentially, which is kind of nice. Where you both have been going, and again, I'm going to refer back to this transiting Mars, in your chart as a couple, it's like almost bumping into each other, literally and figuratively. Your efforts to cooperate with each other have been stressful, and you might not have been able to put your finger on why this is. You may have said at some point, okay, I know I'm under stress because my father passed away, but, you know, on and off, it's like, I'm saying this, she's hearing that, and vice versa. I think that could be alleviated just a bit if you stop and think very carefully, okay, what did I really say? I know what I thought I said in my head, but what did I really ask for? Or it's a simple stuff when people say, you know, what do you want for dinner, honey? Oh, I don't care. And then they get something they didn't want at all. Well,
mm-hmm.
if you said you didn't care, And those are the little things that they wear away at perfectly good relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it only comes up during stressful times. Now, I think you guys have a great relationship. It's just right now where it's the where you are experiencing conflict, if you've noticed more. It has to do with the stress, and it has to do with how you communicate. And it's both of you. It's never just one. You know, it's both of you. If
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to watch something on TV, then say so, or don't want to eat something. And with no animosity, it's like, you know what, I just don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do that, you can do that.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that now.
That's accurate.
Yeah, so that's, but no, this is a darn good relationship. And, God, it's nice to, you know, find someone that you can, you know, have this time with. It's like, okay, well, you know, it's just this little patch that's happening. I would expect that both of you very quickly are going to be coming up to this major turning point. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to decide to move or if you're going to decide to go do something together creatively that's different than what you've been doing, or but it's coming up darn soon.
When, approximately?
Oh, when? Well, I love using Mars for timing. That's 6 weeks. I'd say sometime early summer.
Okay. Well, it gives me a little bit of time to shape up on something else I'm checking out right now anyway.
Okay. You know, and
thank you so much, Deb.
Well, certainly.
That was
the
a
best
lot of time,
with
and
that.
I really appreciate it.
Well, it's, you know what? It's a pleasure to be of service.
Well, you were. Thank you so much.
Certainly. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
All right. Well, we're about out of time here. Deb's the Horoscope Lady. I will be back next week. But again, I invite you to check out either mybirthchart.com, and we'll get those weekly horoscopes up by Friday evening, or searchbythestars.com, and you can plug in your information and buy a book. Same thing, we'll get the weekly horoscopes up by Friday evening, or go to debsdetox.isagenix.com if you're interested in weight loss or cleansing products. Thanks so much, and bye now.